Kharkov, Ukraine. We'll talk some more about Saltovka and so forth. But number three then is Argentina. We have other lesser works that we aren't so involved in, but we're going to talk about all of them this evening, spend a little time with each one, and we have some pictures to show you. We're going to start with San Andres, Colombia. In my opinion, this is right now our most exciting work. Bear in mind that 20 years ago, there wasn't a work there. But now it's begun. There we go. There are three or four things I want to talk about. The first is that when we started the work 20 years ago, property was purchased, a building was obtained, and I've been to that building, and some of you have. It's in a derelict part of town. It's a terrible part of town. Of course, on the island, you've got a lot of poverty. But I mean, the road that goes right beside that old church building is, you probably wouldn't consider it passable in your vehicle. It's dirt, and there's some erosion ruts in it, and it's just a very difficult and dangerous place. A couple of years ago, we recognized that this work wasn't going to take off unless we made some serious changes. The potential was there and great, but some changes had to be made, and it was going to take money. So, here's what happened. We found a new preacher. His name is Enrique. He's young, he's energetic, and he's full of the Bible. This is Enrique. Now, Enrique has a young family, a wife and a sweet child by the name of Jorge, and Jorge is George. We bought a new building. Let's go to the next slide. This is Jorge and Viviana and Enrique, our preacher. Now, I wish you could shake his hand. He's tall and he's lean and strong and he grips your hand and he's got fire in his eyes. He loves to preach. He loves souls. This is the bottom story of their house. Now, what we did was to buy a house big enough. We had two purposes. We had to have a place for the preacher to live and also a place for worship. So, we bought a house that's two stories, and the preacher and his family live upstairs. They worship down. And this is downstairs. This is the big room. Now, Earl went. When we first bought it, there was a wall in here in this room and had to be taken out. So, Earl went and spent some time and got the wall taken out. Now, it's one big place, room where they can assemble. This is the church auditorium. Okay. Well, there's the outside of the church building. Iglesia de Cristo, Church of Christ. That gate that you see that's open there has a lock on it. And you'll see a motorcycle behind that tree. A lot of the brethren walk. Some of them take taxis, which is typically a motorcycle that you ride for about 50 cents. Some of the brethren have their own motorcycles, and they'll ride them, and they'll pull them right in that gate and park in there. That big room on the lower story on the left is the auditorium you were just looking at. And again, the upstairs there are the living quarters for the preacher and his family. Okay? Now, this is so typical. When you're there, you see a few cars, but mostly what you see are motorcycles. And the preacher and his wife do not own a car. They own a motorcycle. Now, I think that's a rented one they're on there, but the one they have is just a... I think it's a Yamaha and about 125 cc's, and you ride your whole family on the motorcycle. The husband drives, and the baby sits in front of him, and the wife on the back, and everybody does it that way and works out just fine. Next slide. When these people get ready for worship, I mean, everything is done in a very serious way. This is just before worship. Enrique is instructing the men of who will lead the prayers, who will wait on the table, who will lead singing. Enrique is every inch a leader, and people respect him, and that's what they're doing here. These are sober-minded Christian men. Let's go on. All right. What you're seeing here is the old auditorium. Now, on that plot of land, you have a concrete block church building, and this is the auditorium for that building. Right beside it, is a little house, and that was the preacher's house, where Brother Ferrero lived. And I'm going to talk some more about him in just a couple of minutes. But this neighborhood is derelict. And this building is You know, it was the best that they could do at the time, that we could do to help them at the time. Now we have a nice new building. When they were meeting here, their average attendance was about 20. That's when we decided we had to do something to push this work forward. Now, the average attendance is about 70. All right? Now, you can do the math and see that this is really exciting. We moved to a new building. We got a new preacher, an aggressive preacher. And now, people are being baptized into Christ. All right? I know that you see more than 20 people there. This was not typical. This was a visiting time. All right, let's begin again. Let's go again. All right, again. All right. Alongside of Enrique is Jose. And he's the one on the left here, and he's the one that's doing the baptizing of this young man. We send Jose a little money each month. I think about $50, $100 a month. Jose is a man full of the Bible. He knows the book, and he loves knocking doors. And so he and Enrique are working side by side. Now, that's enough, barely enough, but enough for him to live on. He has a little flat, and he's not married. You'd love Jose. He's a humble man, and he loves to talk to people about the Word of God. All right, next. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Hold there for just a minute. This is a report that we recently got from Enrique. And he sends these monthly. Recently, in the last 2 months, they've had two baptisms. They've had a baby shower. But also this congregational report. On Sunday morning, in this month, I was teaching the church the requirements of deacons. This subject is inside of the general subject, which is the Bible organization of the church. Now remember, Enrique doesn't speak much English. He's working at it, but he has a program that will translate this into English, and I think that's how he gets it done. I am preparing the church so that seeing the need to get organized biblically. So he's preaching about deacons so they can organize. We are preaching important subject on Sunday morning according to the need, the spiritual of the church. Sunday afternoon, we're having devotionals for brothers who cannot come in the morning. We're teaching the book of Revelation. On Tuesday, a congregational school, teaching the four Gospels. My intention is to prepare the brothers in the knowledge of the Lord's Word. On Wednesday, a doctrinal class. I'm teaching about Godhead of the Holy Spirit. On Thursdays, biblical history class. Jose is teaching the histories of the Old Testament. This month he is in the Judges, Histories of Israel. On Friday, we have devotionals of prayer and praises. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They're meeting every day. In this building that we have bought with your dollars, they're meeting every day and teaching the Word of God. The collection of November was $371. Their attendance in November, and here are the four Sundays, 62, 58, 63, and 50. All right? So the average is coming up to about 70. So they're doing good. And it's because of all this hard work. 20 years ago, there wasn't a church there. And now look at them. Okay, what happened to the old building? It still sits there. And, you know, frankly, I thought it would sit there until it just went away. Recently, someone has come and made us an offer on that building. I think $12,000. $25,000? Even better. $25,000. A large portion of it is to be put down and then some payments to be made. But naturally, We want to move that building if we can because of where it is. And I am frankly amazed that we're going to be able to sell it. But it looks like it could happen. And so we're working through that right now. Let's see if there's anything else I want to mention about this. Is there any question you have about what I've just described? Anything you want to say? All right. This gentleman here is Brother Ferrero. Ferrero Baptiste James. Those of you who have been at West Huntsville for a long time recognize his face or his name because for many, many years he was our missionary at St. Andres. Now, he is not able to preach. Now he's old and he no longer has that ability. a lot of health problems, so forth. We made a commitment to Him that we're fulfilling. And so we send money to Ferrero every month so that he will be able to live. And we're going to do that until he dies. He gave us many, many years at St. Andres. He was instrumental in that church getting off the ground, and he worked very, very hard. He's not able to work anymore, but we can't abandon him now. And so we send him a check every month. All right, let's move on. Now let's go to Kharkov, Ukraine. We have two preachers in that church, Igor and Valor. Valeri, thank you. 15 years ago is when this church started. There wasn't a church prior to that. It started in 1991. Now we have about 60 in attendance there. When we visit there, there are about 90. We have more people come in, but on the average, they're doing about 60 people. Next year, this church plans to take some of its own support, and that'll be exciting. Valeri is who you see here, not the tall, gray-headed one, but the bearded one and the young woman. That's Valeri, and he's one of our preachers there. The other people are, I believe, her parents, and who were visiting at the time, and of course, you know Arnold. We're really excited about this work. Sue and Earl work tirelessly there. Earl's the reason that building is there. It's a fine church building. And I've met those Christians and worked around them. And, you know, when you think about, that 15 years ago there wasn't a church there. It wasn't a church. There wasn't any Christians there. And now you've got a meeting, functioning, going group of God's people, averaging 60. I mean, that's exciting. Did it cost money? It cost a lot of money. It cost a lot of time and a lot of work. But people are going to be in heaven with you and me as a result of this work. Now, Valeri is a friendly and warm man, and I know that you'd enjoy being around him. Next slide, please. Okay, here's the next work. So you have one there in Kharkov. You can't stop there. Because what we did in Kharkov, I mean, if it'll work there, it'll work other places too. Saltavka is about 25 minutes in a taxi cab across town. And no church. Lots of people. They live in these tall apartment buildings that are gray, and they all look alike in these flats, these apartments. And so what we're doing is starting a new church from scratch, just like we did before. This time in Saltavka, you're looking at the two preachers that you and I support with our American dollars. All right? Ramon is this brother on the right. Ramon came to the United States and studied at MSOP, Memphis School of Preaching, and learned what they knew, and then went on back. And he's a great preacher. Sergey is on the left. Sergey is a trained and talented preacher, too. Now, both of these men speak the language there very well. But they speak English, too. And so we have no trouble at all communicating with either of these. And they're excellent translators, too. Both of them hard workers. Now, Sergey on the left is our main preacher. And Ramon is part-time. And we don't send him very much money. He doesn't need much to live on right now. And so he's just working part-time for us. I said it was brand new. We went... What month did we go? In June. That's when we went and we rented a hall and we had nightly meetings. And, I mean, that was the get-go. That was the very beginning. June. Ladies and gentlemen, that church has 7 members now. You hear me? 7 members now. What we send to Sergey is $300 a month, plus $200 a month for a working fund. Now, you have to understand that a place has to be rented. We don't own a church building, of course. He has to have a place to live and something to buy food with. And then he also has to rent a place in which they can worship. They've been worshiping, of course, in his flat. They have an idea now about a building where they can rent, which they can rent and start worshiping in, and that will be very good for them. Any questions you want to ask up to this point? Any comments you want to make? Igor in Kharkov, thank you. Didn't mean to omit him. But in Kharkov, again, we have Valery and Igor. And both of them work side by side in that work. But in Kharkov now, we have a beautiful building. And again, that work's been going for 15 years. It's just doing great. Okay, let's do one more. Ebi. Now, this is a work in which we do not have a monetary investment. We don't send money monthly. But the Hesters have been working with this work for a long time. And what they've asked us to do is to start overseeing the funds that come from others to go to Ebi, to this church. And so the eldership here is about to start doing that. And then we'll have a leadership role in that work. At this time, it's not our intention to be financially involved in it, but we will have a leadership role. Here's the note that, and Paul couldn't be here tonight, he's out of town, but he asked me to read this note. And I'm going to do it as these slides scroll. This is Ebi at Marshall Islands. We're planning to finish the church building next year with the help of a Christian businessman at another church. Saipong is planning on retiring as the prosecuting attorney and becoming the full-time preacher next year. He wants to train men to become preachers of the gospel. There are 13 denominations on Ebi, and it takes time to change what people have been taught for generations. Saipong is one of the most respected men on the island and is making progress, but it's difficult working full-time. His main encouragement over the last year has come from listening to sermons from West Huntsville. So he gets them online and gets them in tape, I guess. He's recently started debating denominational preachers over the CB radio. In his last email, he said, "I noticed that they are as confused as I was before becoming a member of the Lord's church." And these are members of that church at Ebi, Marshall Islands.
Glenn asked me to tell you about the other works that we do since he hadn't been there. So I'll attempt to do that this evening. We started a new work a year ago in Pilar, Argentina. Pilar is a city of about somewhere between 200 and 300,000 people, an hour northeast of Buenos Aires. It's the fastest growing city in Argentina. A church had been started there 40 years ago by Brother Lionel Cortez. I know many of you have met him. He works with the Forest Park Congregation in Valdosta and married an Argentinian lady from Pilar while he was there as a missionary. And so Forest Park was wanting to start the work back up there. and they needed someone to support the preacher. And they had one that we all know selected. And maybe there's a slide of him. His name is Daniel Jaramillo. It's hard to say. His wife's name is Tatiana. They have a one-year-old son. His name is Juan Angel. Daniel was the director of the School of Preaching in Colombia, and he wanted to go into mission work, and so we are supporting him in Pilar. Church was started a year ago with a campaign. Several people from various parts of the U.S. went for that campaign. While there, we found out that the church that Brother Cortez had started 40 years ago still existed. Had two members, the preacher and his wife. That preacher was one who had become a Christian many years ago, self-trained as a preacher, and he was very, I guess the word is legalistic. He had run everyone off. He had a very nice facility for himself and his wife. Nobody else could meet the requirements that he placed on them. People who were Christians were driving or taking a bus to Buenos Aires to worship, an hour away. So Daniel did move there. Forest Park owned the home. He moved into it. Since then, we have added on to that home two rooms for the second preacher. By the way, those two rooms cost $750 that they built. The second preacher's name is Rafael Marin. Rafael is Daniel's father-in-law. So the two of them are in Pilar. They've been there a year. The church has grown to 15 in attendance in 1 year. They have a daily radio program. It costs $125 a month. Their salaries are $500 a month for each of them. And we're supporting them completely. They have resolved the differences with the man who was there at the building that was owned by a church in Texas. And we now have title to that building, or at least the church there does. So they have a very fine place to meet, could probably seat in the neighborhood of 120. And so they're working to that end. Both of these men are very capable preachers. Daniel does speak English, and he calls me nearly monthly. I said they'd resolve their problems with the preacher. He's constantly coming up with new problems. The latest one, just for your information, I received the call Friday, is that he's calling it, the two missionaries false teachers because they allow women to answer questions in Bible study. And so they're resolving that with him at the present time. It looks like that this work will be very good in the future. The two men not only take care of the needs in Pilar, but they also take a bus for an hour to a little city north of them where there is a congregation of the Lord's people without a preacher. So they go up there and work on Saturdays along with their wives. You have any questions about Argentina? Another work that we support, most of you know about it, and I consider it the fourth major one, although we're not 100% involved there anymore. But 5 years ago, last October, Paul Owen wanted to start preaching full-time in the mission area. And he wanted to go to Boonville. And I told him to get to Boonville, you go to out in the boondocks as far as you can go, turn left, and when the road dead ends, that's Boonville. It's a little country town, very nice little town, about 10,000 people. When Paul went 5 years ago, they had 12 in attendance. Now they're averaging over 60, Their contribution each week is over $900. Their budget, I think, is $980 a week. And we've gone from supporting Paul full-time to where we provide $18,000, I believe, of his salary a year. And the congregation there provides the rest of it. And shortly, they should be self-supporting. They have two elders. Paul's very active, constantly having Bible studies and baptisms. I can't tell you how many this year, but it's been several. One problem there is that, as you know, Paul and Tammy have five children. Hannah's the oldest, and there are no other children in that area who are Christians. They want to move back south, particularly so they can be close to her while she goes to college. So I expect Paul to leave Boonville sometime this summer. I do know he has talked to some other congregations about moving there. But that's been a good work, and when he leaves, we may or may not be involved with who his replacement might be. There is a man in the congregation there now who is a retired preacher, and I'm sure they're going to talk to him first about taking over that work. But that's been very good work in 5 years also. There's three others that we're involved with. One of them's in Honduras. The preacher's name there is Armando, and his wife's name is Maria Galeno. We provide his salary 100%. It's $400 a month. He's a graduate of Panama School of Preaching. We're able to do that because, and I'll just mention their names. I'm sure they don't care. But Brother Chuck and Laquita Daniel provide the support for him with the request that it be under our oversight. So that's how we're able to take care of that mission work. And that's been going on for a year. We don't get very many. In fact, we've only had one report from there, so I can't tell you much about the progress, but we've asked that change, or we'll have to make some changes. We do require Honduras. We do require them to send us a report monthly, and he has not been doing it. Two other works that we're involved with. One is in New Plymouth, New Zealand. Rodney and Gail Kyle are the missionaries there. They're native New Zealanders. In fact, I believe Nancy, didn't Eddie baptized Rodney? Okay, Doyle Wright did when Eddie and Doyle were over there working as missionaries. They're in New Plymouth. He's doing an excellent work from the reports we get back each month. We only provide $100 a month to his support. He's under the oversight of Grant Street Church in Decatur. And finally, six months ago, many of you know Dorsey Traw, who's been in Thailand for 46 years, and he lost his support and oversight. And he was able to raise support by going to the various churches in the area, but he couldn't find a congregation to oversee it. So he asked us to do that, and that's another work we now have, but it's strictly to provide oversight. We're not involved with them monetarily. But Dorsey's done very good work in Thailand. Many of you know him and can tell more about it than I could. But I believe that's all of our mission works. But y'all are doing a good work. The only thing I might say is we had one other one in India that we had to stop due to the fact we weren't meeting our budget. So there's a lot of opportunities. And we appreciate your giving the way you do so we can continue the work in those areas. If you have any questions, I'll listen to them and let Glenn answer them. Yes. Yeah, in fact, I meant to mention that earlier. Not particularly what we do, but I was going to use this statement I'm going to make now as a lead-in to World Bible School. The means that Danielle and his father-in-law are using to reach people in Pilar, in addition to the radio program and door knocking, is World Bible School. His last report, he said they had 70 students just from advertising on the radio program. They're all right there in Pilar, so he can follow up on them. And we have a very active program here that is part of our mission program. Been in existence probably, 30 years? 25 years. Several of you are involved in it on Wednesday night. Been many people baptized because of that. Probably less per baptism spent in that program than any other one I can think of. And Mari Behan's been doing an excellent work in it for the whole 25 years, and we appreciate that. Any questions? Yes. That's correct. And then there's also Gospel Broadcasting Network that we're involved with and send money on a regular basis and other things like that.
World Bible School has been involved in over 90 countries that we started. Got new and just this week, Barbados, West Indies,
what Mari said was that they've had students in World Bible School from 90 different nations, and they just had a new nation this past week. Where was it?
Barbados, West Indies.
Okay, good. And we've got some in Argentina too, so you might count that as another one. You had some there earlier, though. Right. Anything else?
It's very important that you remember that these works are carried out not by the elders, but by you. What the elders do is oversee the Lord's money, which is contributed by you and us. We oversee the monies and oversee these works, but the fact of the matter is, if the contributions to the Lord's work aren't there, then the works have to stop. And so, I want to encourage you to keep giving. This is a very giving church. The only reason that these works are going on is because of the contributions of the Christians. Is there anything else that needs to be said before we conclude tonight?